Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio, is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. Man, it's good to be here today with all of our listeners from all across the country and the world. We're excited. We're excited to have this conversation with you. Don't forget that VFN Radio, we have four programs for you back to back. And we have so much to discuss today. We're going to be talking about a recent terrorist attack, Pat, that just happened in Israel. It was South Korean Christians that were actually killed while they were there. And so things are heightening and things are happening. Also about, hopefully we can get about what happened with a Palestinian as he was, he hatched a plan, Pat, to get arrested for a terrorist attack that he never planned out. And you got to find
what?
Out. Wait till, yeah. But when you hear the incredible reason why, the reason behind this, it won't surprise you, but it'll further show us that there is a strategy out there to take Israel out. I mean, we you know this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you just got to make it plain, and you got to be able to say, listen, these are the facts. Because you have tons of people that are constantly trying to declare, oh, there's no problem in the Middle East. Everything's fine. Everything's great. Everything's perfect. Can we all just get along?
Right.
Well, it's really hard to get along with people that really want to take you out. And when they have 170,000 missiles aimed at you from, you're completely surrounded. I don't think this is a moment for us to get along right now. I think it's a moment where we can survive and protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it's been very quiet in the Middle East. It's amazing how all of a sudden for, you know, weeks, you'll hear nothing but constant everyday cycles of information and news that are coming out. But did we all forget that there is a Syrian civil war where over 100,000 people have been killed? And you hear like nothing. It's eerily silent. And then there's waves of attack, and then it's eerily silent. And it's all part of, you know, a big picture here. There's something that's unfolding, but I'm more concerned over the quiet times and the times when you do hear what's happening.
Right.
And if you miss any of our programs, and particularly when we spoke about the Ford Blood Moons, April the 15th is coming. You want to get that program. You want to share it with your friends. And this is a perfect time. This is a perfect time to find all the different ways to connect with us on VFN Radio. We're also on TV, on Christian Television Network. So be sure to check your local listings if you're on the Gulf Coast so you can connect with us every single day. But also, we've gone through great lengths to update our website and to make it, I mean, they've done such a fantastic job preparing it for our viewers and for our listeners. There are so many resources and so many ways that you can connect and get VFN Radio on the go. We have the podcast. Of course, we have the Torch. And I want to encourage you not only to have access to VFN Radio, because we do have video archives as well. You don't want to miss that. You can actually see us online, Pat. I mean, absolutely awesome. We need to make sure that person gets a pat on their back. I mean, that was just awesome.
I'll see if I can arrange that.
You arrange that.
I'll see what I can do.
But that was awesome. And we don't want you to forget to visit our sponsors. Listen, it's our sponsors and our underwriters that are working with us together as we're continuing trying to keep the torch lit in the forefront in this dark world. And maybe you're interested and you want to become a sponsor. You have a business in the community and in the country, and you're looking to stand with those that stand for God, country, and Israel. I want to tell you, there's never been a perfect time than to stand now. Be one that comes in the forefront and says, I want to put my business, I want to stand up for those that stand up for God, country, and Israel. It matters. And together, us partnering, we can do this. We can do this. So we're going to be talking about in these programs also about honoring, Pat, God's still small voice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oftentimes people want to hear the audible voice of God, right?
Right.
But, you know, God's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. He's not in the wind. You know, he's in the still small voice. And it's been my experience, Pat. I don't know if this has been yours, and it's been the experience of what I see in the Bible. God doesn't unfold everything to you. I mean, he has a way of just giving you a couple of words, maybe right. a word, a syllable, a picture. You know, he told Abraham, get thee up and go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he did. And so, but when we begin to pause and honor his still small voice in our life, it's amazing how with every bit of obedience, God begins to open and reveal to us more. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, you know, if we're not going to obey the first word, why would God give us the second word?
Right.
And so as God continues to share and to speak with us, then we can begin to obey, and we'll live by every proceeding word that comes out of the mouth of God. He says, you can't live on bread alone. We got to live with by every word that comes out of his mouth. And I'll tell you, that's where we want to be. And hopefully today on one of our programs, we do want to get to what's happening in Utah. Some amazing things that are unfolding. And it's awesome to see fathers, Pat, taking a stand to say, you know what? I want to be there for my children, my unborn child, no less. But I want to be there and I want to be in their life. There's one man that spent over $30,000 in court fees.
Wow.
$30,000. And he says, I will continue to fight until I don't have any more money left. Mm. But I love my son, and basically I want to be in his life. We have so much to share with you today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I am pastor of a home church, and we have not filled out the paperwork to get a federal ID tax number. The question is, can the people who donate to our church deduct that from their taxes?
Churches are automatically tax-exempt under the Internal Revenue Code, Section 508. I'm not sure whether you need an ID number or not, but I wouldn't be too concerned about getting an ID number if, in fact, it's required. But what is important for you to know is that you're automatically tax-exempt as a church. If it's a legitimate church activity and a legitimate church structure, you have services, you have worship, you have baptisms, you have communion, these kind of things that make it a legitimate church organization, you're automatically tax-exempt. That means the donations made by your contributors, members of the congregation, are automatically tax deductible.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org.
And you know, we have a special offer for you, and I want to tell you about it. It's called Convergence. My goodness, it's a prophetic word that's amazing. And the whole title is called The Convergence, A Choir of Prophetic Words. And it talks about ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn, and the coming great awakening. I mean, this was a word that was shared, a convergence, a coming together, if you will, of prophetic words that was just really absolutely amazing. And I remember this day like it was yesterday because God just filled the studio. We were so gripped. But you're going to hear words from Rick Joyner. You're going to hear words from Greg. Vision that God gave me in regarding the economy and it crashing. You're going to hear words from David Wilkerson, Steve Hill, and it seems that all of these words are just coming together at one time because, listen, God is preparing his church. God is preparing his church. He's getting ready for a third great awakening. We want you to have this special offer. You can go to VFNTV.com, make an offer, any offer. But we want to get it to you so that you can be aware, you can know what God is saying, and so that you can prepare. Again, go to VFNTV.com, select the special offer, and get it today and share it with a friend.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
There's 100 questions that are given to everybody who wants to become an American citizen. And if you are America, if you're born in America, you're like default. You're like automatically American citizen. You don't have to know nothing. You don't have to know these. we thought. But now we're finding out if we don't learn about our Constitution, if we don't learn about the Declaration of Independence, if we don't learn what our founding fathers had in mind, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. And I think about, you know, just real quickly again about the doctor that was speaking at the prayer breakfast.
Ben Carson.
Yeah, he said this guy, he said his mother, he likes to buy his mother expensive gifts. And so he one time he bought her two birds that talked. And it's like $5,000 birds, $5,000 birds. And sent it to his mother. And he calls her up a little bit later and says, how did you like the birds? And she says, they was good. And he's like, you ate these? These birds talk and dance and do all these fancier stuff. And she says, well, they should have said something. but this is how he ends that. He says, and that's what's going to happen to us if we don't say something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just going to be devoured. We're just going to be we're going to be obsolete.
That's right.
And that's why we're doing the citizenship test. We're learning as we go, and we hope you're learning with us. And you can go back to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com, and you can hear all the questions up to today and our wonderful responses. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong. So what happens is, of course, we're very excited that, yes, you'll hear an applause like that when somebody actually gets a question right. When they get it wrong, you'll hear. But sometimes we need time to think. So when you're thinking, you're going to have personal time to answer, your personal time to be able to think, because this is going to be a test given to Pat and John. They're doing so well at this. I think John is the closest one to self-deportation. I'm not sure. But Iran or North Korea, I believe, now has some empty lots that they've blown up, some spaces and things there. And so we're going to go to the first question. This is for the U.S. citizenship test. This is what you have to take and pass to be a United States citizen. And question number 76, which is numero uno for us today because we're only doing five of them, is going to John. John, here's the question. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Man of faith. Question is, what did the Emancipation Proclamation do? What did the Emancipation Proclamation do? All right, John, are you ready for your final answer?
I'm ready.
Okay, here it is. This is for your citizenship. Don't take it personal. You'll have to go to the back of the line. According to the speech last night, if you don't get this right, but you, when you get back up, you can take the test again. Here is the question from the U.S. citizenship test. Are you ready, John?
I'm ready.
What did the Emancipation Proclamation do?
Alex, for 5,000, I'm going to say it freed the slaves.
Hey! Oh my goodness. That's exactly it. That's so important. That is so important. And it freed the slaves, and that was an executive order that was signed by President
Lincoln.
President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, that became a law, but it was constitutional executive order. You know that when he did that. But you know, it's amazing. I was talking to a waiter at the Cracker Barrel, and we're talking to him about something, and he's looking at us like we're just foreigners, and we're thinking, we're so old, these people don't even know about these things. You can't assume just because you know something that this generation knows it. And that's so important, because that was the moment a president did what was right in a powerful way, and despite Congress, despite Senate, he signed an executive order called the Emancipation Proclamation, which freed the slaves in America. Is that powerful?
Wow.
Totally, totally powerful. Pat.
Yes.
Here's your question. I see you got your Samsonite and you're ready to go. But if you get this right, maybe.
Make sure the phone's not in his hand. Just make sure.
No, he's not.
All right.
Well, it's the finger that couldn't do anything anyway.
Oh.
No. Here's a question, Pat. From the U.S. citizenship test, question next. What did Susan B. Anthony do? What did Susan B. Anthony do? from the U.S. citizenship test. So you do not have to go to Kyrgyzstan. What did? I mean, he's still looking all over the place for this answer. It don't look like anything's happening. So I'm like, sure. Like, what did? I'm asking a couple of times that maybe it'll come to
I heard him. He was like, Lincoln.
Yeah, he was all over that, wasn't it? Knowing your stuff, he's like, we'll find out. Maybe he's just throwing us off by the blank look in his face. Let's just see. What did? He's rubbing his forehead.
Come to me.
Yeah. What did? This is from the U.S. citizenship test. What did Susan B. Anthony do?
Okay, it's shot in the dark. Two things come to mind.
Oh, great.
All right. What did she do?
She designed the American flag.
That was Susan A. Anthony. This is the next one.
Right,
Susan
right.
B. Anthony. No.
Did it have something to do with the... I better not say it. Go ahead. I got it anyway.
Well, you notice that John's not cutting in right here. Okay, this is the question. What did Susan B. Anthony do? She fought for women's rights. Ooh. Tracy, I can't believe he doesn't know this. This is so important. I am just blown away that he didn't know about Susan B. Anthony. Remember?
Wow. No.
Right.
I was with him.
Way to revoke a high school diploma? Is there a way to submit for that or something?
I don't remember anything.
Did you know
the school? No, because he would have cut in on you like you did him.
Yeah, he probably would have.
Question number next from the U.S. Question number next from the U.S. citizenship test. Well, I was like, how many cells does Sally sell? Okay, we're going to go to the next question. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s. You should have seen Pat's face. It was just like, he's like, great, he gets all the easy ones. Isn't the answer all of them, Alex? No, right, no, I'm joking. Name from the U.S. the test.
No, we want to hear it. The what test?
From the U.S. citizenship test.
Citizen.
Question number next in the tournament for citizenship. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s. John.
I'm going to go ahead and say World War I.
Yeah. And like most of them, when they all fought, it's like, correct. You get the answer, that's correct. World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, the Gulf War, and today, all these wars going on at the same time we just call the terrorist war. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. You should have seen Pat like, dag, he gets all these easy ones. But here comes one for Pat. From the U.S. citizenship test, question next is, I mean, we really want you to be a citizen. I mean, think about it.
I'd like to stay a citizen.
I mean, you cannot speak anything but Cantonese. So here
not very well.
Not very well. That question is from the U.S. citizenship test is who was the president Who was the president during World War I? Thank you. iPad from the USSS, the citizenship test.
Mm.
Who was the president of Kyrgyzstan? Just warming you up for the news.
All right.
Who was the president of the United States during World War I?
I believe he was your favorite president, Woodrow Wilson.
Whoa!
Woodrow. Yes, Woodrow Wilson is the one responsible for the United Nations. He said that we would never go to war, and of course, he actually promoted the war, and because and World War One happened because he actually felt like government should play a bigger role, so government should be bigger. But when World War One was happening and we weren't involved in it, they were so busy fighting each other, they weren't buying our products. And so the trade tax and the export tax and all that just dropped, and that's how the government was supported. Wow. And so it was because he wanted big government, he got America involved in World War One, so we could have big government. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And he also is the one that, and believe me, the progressives went and got him. He was teaching, and I believe probably in New Jersey, one of the universities there, I forget now, but you can go back and...
Princeton.
Yeah, Princeton. You can go back and listen to, just type in Woodrow and the Torch, and you'll hear all the things. And they wanted to promote their agenda through him. He was a speaker and a professor that could speak, and his students got up and applauded him. He had the ability to deliver a message.
Mm. Mm.
And they already had his message they wanted him to deliver. And, but when, that's how we actually declared war, because he thought there should be big government. I mean, think about the whole picture of that.
Wow.
And he saw problems going on in the country, and he thought that they're not being met. Maybe the answer is the government can meet these problems, you know, things that were taking place. Well, that was going good until the war started. When the war started, all the tax money that came in that supported the government, that came from people buying our products, began to drop down.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did he do? We got to go solve this war in a hurry so that it will never, people start buying our products again. They can afford to spit government. So then once it's over with, of course, America is pretty dominant on the stage of helping win the war. So he begins to write up the whole concept of the League of Nations. And the League of Nations was, if we tie all the nations' economies together, they won't fight each other, because that means they'll crash. Well, America, obviously, in his mindset, was already tied to the other nations because they bought our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And in the context of that he developed the League of Nations, and he eventually died. They didn't go for that. But as soon as World War II was finished, they brought his concept in. They just adopted it and changed it just a little bit, and they call it the United Nations today. So, yes, Woodrow Wilson thought we should go to war because of, based on history, that we should have big government.
Huh.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Thank you, Woodrow.
Yeah,
thanks. You.
Thanks, Woodrow. Thank you, Woodrow. He segregated an unsegregated military.
Mm.
I mean, he did all these things, and these people having this Woodrow Award. I'm like, Woodrow, why would you have a Woodrow Award?
Huh.
Anyway, the question last. This is going to go to John. Thank you, Pat. It was very helpful with that. From the U.S. citizenship test, John, here it is. So you will not have to be deported from the United States and get to the end of the line. For your citizenship of America, here's your question, the last question of the day. Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II? Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II? Okay, here it is. It's got to be your final answer. This is the last question for the day for the U.S. citizenship test. Here it is, John.
Let's see.
Question last. The question is, who was the president during the Great Depression and World War II?
Now, you're asking who was the president. of this country, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Not Kyrgyzstan. Okay. Not Afghanistan. This is okay. So who was the president of the United States?
Yeah, there's a lot of presidents.
Yeah, you have to ask that nowadays because you never know. Are you really president of the United States? Because you're doing other things. Who was president of the United States during the Great Depression and War Dose?
I'm going to go with FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Delano?
Delano.
I think that was his cousin.
Think about it. Yes, that's absolutely right. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And that it's interesting how they put these two characters. You got Woodrow and you have Franklin Roosevelt, D. Roosevelt, inside the citizenship test. It's almost like, what are we trying to say here? Is the progressive movement the movement that we're trying to promote here? You know, is those values and all? Well, y'all did a wonderful job for the U.S. citizenship test today. And we are almost done. 20 more left, and maybe we will not have to self-deport. We'll be right back after this break.
Oh, my goodness. Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue. A taste of Southern soul on Highway 29, just one quarter mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right-hand side. Come on in and get some. Visit Copy Products today with five locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Mm-mm, delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this... Hitler-like type conversations, or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian, or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing, and they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining me today on VFN Radio is producer Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello. My goodness, we're excited to be with you today and all of our VFN Radio listeners from all across the country and the world. We have an exciting program for you today. Don't forget that we have four back-to-back programs, and we're going to be talking today about honoring God's still small voice and obeying the voice of the Lord. It's just amazing because God wants to talk to us all the time, Pat, but we need to not just hear, but we got to listen. We got to listen and then, of course, obey. And when we do that, we're going to see God really do some amazing things in us and really through us. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be talking today about an attack, a terrorist attack that occurred in Israel, as well as some of the attacks that are happening in Israel by Palestinians and things that are being waged against them. And, of course, a call for us to pray and to always remain alert. But before we get to that, we do want to start sharing and discussing the importance of hearing the voice of God. I mean, we talk about this often on VFN Radio and encourage you, if you have not already, to enter into an abiding relationship with Jesus, John 15. And if you don't know much about abiding, and this may be the first time you're hearing about it, we encourage you to go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and we have a free gift for you there. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and sign up for a free gift and find out a plan how you can begin to have an abiding relationship with Jesus that will change your life. But oftentimes you've heard people say, well, you know, I just want to hear God's voice. I want God to tell me something. I want to know what God is saying and what God is doing. And oftentimes they're looking for an audible voice. They're looking for an earth-shattering moment. They're looking for, you know, my son, get thee up, and, you know, Charles Heston voice or something. I don't have it. But, you know, they're looking for this dramatic thing. And it's been my experience and from what I read in the scriptures and maybe your experience as well, that God oftentimes doesn't speak like that. You know, he it's a still, small, quiet voice. Oftentimes it's not many words. And just get thee up and I'll tell you once you go type of thing. And as we obey, God continues to speak and share more. But, you know, 1 Kings 19 verse 11 says, then the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great powerful wind tore the mountains apart. This is speaking to Elijah. And shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord, Pat, was not in the wind. Then after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing? And so it's in a still, small voice. And oftentimes, you know, when God wants to speak and share things, you know, we may discredit something that God wants to say to us because we think, oh, that's just me, or that just popped in my head. I love when you hear people say, you know, something told me that I needed to go home, or something told me I had to pick up this, or something told me. Oftentimes that something telling you is God telling you. It's God telling you. You'll look back as you just, the more you begin to hear God's voice and practice discerning what the Lord is saying, you'll start realizing, wow, God's been speaking to me all along. I just haven't noticed or maybe paid attention. Well, I had an occurrence like that one time. Where I was driving down the road, and this was back in 2004, I guess, 2004, 2003, and the 2000, right before 2004. It was during the presidential election with George W. Bush, the son's second election. And I was driving, and the president was coming into town that day. and I was headed somewhere, and he was about to arrive, like, within 10 minutes of, you know, me driving down the road. And I heard the Lord tell me, go down to go see the president. And I'm like, what? You know, what? Just, you know, totally just kind of blew it off. And I just kept just in my heart, I just kept stirring. I don't have a ticket. I mean, I had the opportunity. Remember when we first went, Pat and I and Greg, we had a chance.
The
first time around, he came into the city for some sort of a rally. We had a chance to go down and just go see and be a part. I mean, it's always cool. How many people get a chance to see the President of the United States? And so it's just a cool thing to do. And we were able to get tickets. Remember, there's a like lengthy process. They need to know who you are. I mean, if you're going to go see the president, you have to have a driver's license number. Many, many people were waiting online. I mean, the facility that we wanted to go see, I mean, didn't really hold that many people, 9,000-10,000 folks. So, I mean, those tickets go pretty quick.
Right.
And people wait hours to get them if you're lucky to get them. So I'm thinking, how in the world, you know, I'm supposed to go to the Civic Center and go there. And so I said, well, okay, Lord, maybe, you know, what do you have for me to do or what do you want me to receive? You know, I'll go change my plan. So I drove down there. Now, you got to understand that they encourage you when you're going to see the president come speak somewhere to arrive almost 4 hours early. You know, you got to stand online and then you got to come in and they got to go through all the security and all that type of stuff. But you're there waiting for the president. He's not, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they have other things going on as he's pulling in and doing what they do. So it's like 10 minutes before it starts, okay? You should be, like, well-seated. I mean, this is like, because everything goes just, you know, pretty much right on time. And so I get down there, and I'm like, where am I going to park, you know? But I'm going with
trust
the Lord.
God.
I'm trusting God. So lo and behold, I'm not even like a short block distance away, and I pull into this parking lot, which of course should be jam-packed, and there's one slot available.
Oh, wow.
So I pull in. I walk out of there, and I'm walking towards the Civic Center. I have no ticket, no nothing, and there's a man standing on the corner, and as I pull up to stand up in the corner, get ready to cross the road, the man looks at me and says, hey, man. The person who's going to come with me couldn't come. Do you need an extra ticket? And I go, yeah, I need a ticket. I don't have a ticket. So he gives me a ticket to get in to see the president. So I got the parking space and I've got the ticket and I'm like, okay, man. All right, Lord,
this is you.
I'm, you know, this confirmation, this is awesome. And so I continue to walk forward. And I'm going in, and by this time, all the crowds of people have already gotten in. I'm thinking they're probably not going to let me in now because everyone's seated. And they screen me, put me through the metal detectors, and they allow me in. So now I'm in. I'm in. I'm like, I'm here, Lord. This is amazing just to be walking in here. I'm like, how did I get into this place? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to see? And I'm in the Civic Center, and I'm just standing around. I don't grab my seat yet, and I'm just kind of just walking around because I knew that by this point, I'm supposed to have some sort of an encounter because this is not probably supposed to happen like this, but God for some reason wanted me to go there. And so I show up and I'm standing behind the platform. The first time we saw the president come in, we were expecting him to come in one direction and they fake you out.
They psych you out
because they're bringing all the elected officials and all the state senators are coming and, you know, they introduce all these folks. So you're expecting the president to come from one direction and they psych you out like, oh, he's over there, you know, and he comes in. So I'm behind the platform and I'm standing up and they're about to get started. So I'm thinking, I'll just stand around maybe because I can't even find where I'm supposed to be sitting. I mean, it's jam-packed. I'm not about to ask anyone to move or something.
Yeah, right.
So I'm standing, and there's they have different sections. I guess they have VIP tickets and all these different type of tickets. And all of a sudden, as I'm standing up by the rail, this person comes out and says, we got to fill up the VIP. The president's on his way. Fill up the VIP. Fill up all this gold seats. Put everybody down in there. So the guy looks at me. He says, grab a seat. So now, I only have a ticket, but now I have a VIP seat.
check you out.
To go see the president of the United States. I'm like, okay, God. Not only do I have a seat, but I get all the way down and I have a front row seat. Okay? A front row seat.
This is like right by the stage?
Right by the stage.
Oh, wow.
And so sure enough, they start, you know, and they start welcoming all the senators and all these speakers. And I'm right there in the front, just, you know, clapping away. And this is, you know, a great moment. I'm there by myself. And they get all through with that, Pat. And then they announce, you know, here comes the president of the United States. And everyone stands up. And, Pat, he walks not even maybe 5-6 feet right in front of me, delivers his speech, you know, and it's great. And, you know, that is wonderful and, you know, cool. And so at the end of it, I was all, you know, it was all done. And I'm just thinking, okay, God, well, you know, I'm here. And, but I felt like I was supposed to do something. I felt like I was supposed to do something. And right before he was about to finish and leave, I thought, man, I should probably just get on out of here. This is a good time to leave. But I felt Lord said, stay.
Yeah.
Lord said, stay. So I stayed, you know, longer than what I wanted to. And then as the president's over, he's finished speaking, doing all this type of stuff, he walks. He's leaving out with his wife, Laura Bush.
Laura, yeah.
And he turns directly right in front of me and looks right at me. And I point my finger at him. Why I did this with Secret Service embedded all in the Civic Center.
Yeah.
And I point, I mean, I didn't even know I was going to say this, but I point my finger and says, we are praying for you. We're praying for you. And he tells me back, thank you. And then he just kept waving, going back.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, Lord, you know, that was it. Because I didn't even, but we have been praying for him. We pray for this president, President Obama right now, but it's good to pray for all of our leaders. And I left, and it's just, you know, that was over with, and I was just meditating and just praying and spending time with the Lord. And the Lord was showing me a period of that time, you know, in teaching me, listen to everything I tell you, pay attention, be aware. And oftentimes when God was speaking to the prophets in the Bible, he says, you know, look, and it says, what do you see? You know, it's like, here, are you listening? You know, and it was so cool. You never know. You know, and I was thinking about that situation would unfold, and I'm thinking, you know, who knows? He probably needed to know that we were praying for him. You're going through so many problems and so many things that are facing you. The President of the United States, you're probably having very few friends in the White House.
Yeah, right.
And to know that somebody was praying for you, that probably meant the world to him,
yeah,
you know,
right.
At that particular time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just being obedient, you know.
Yeah.
I was just trying to listen to God. And oftentimes, God just has been reminding me of that. Hey, listen, don't question. Hear, listen, obey. Hear, listen, obey. Hear, listen, obey. You know, there's so many things that God wants us to do and to know and to follow and to do for others. But are we truly hearing the voice of God? Are we listening to Him, or are we discrediting it to Him, discrediting His voice? And I've had occurrences like that before, where, okay, God, I'll say it. And then the person's like, I needed to hear that. How many? And I think about how many people are not being touched, how many people are not being ministered to because we're failing to recognize His voice, or we're not obeying what the Lord is saying. And God wants to use us. He wants us to speak to the person at the cashier, the cashier at the store. He wants us to speak to the person that's, you know, when we're paying for our gas. He wants us to be out and about sharing the good news and speaking words of life and not words of death, and to be obedient. Listen, we are partnering with God here. He doesn't have a plan B. We are plan A. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And He is using us to touch the world. All we need to do is get our instructions from Him. We have to have ears to hear and a heart that obeys what God tells us to do, and no telling what He'll tell you to do and who you'll be able to touch for Him. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God is doing some amazing, amazing things. If you missed our earlier program, you need to
to get a perspective of a crying out for justice with Pastor Cy E. Remember, we're four programs back to back. If you missed any, you can catch them at VFNTV.com, get download our app or whatever. We want to keep in a continual conversation with you with that, because we got to have a perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. The reason why is because God's going to hold you accountable. God is going to hold each of us accountable. We stand alone before God. And that's how you can just be confident that you're just doing what you can with what God has entrusted to you, and you're being faithful. And one thing that we want to do, and the Lord's really spoken to us about this, that, you know, stay in relationship with us. We'll stay in relationship with you as long as the Lord will allow us, and say, you know what, let's continue this broadcast around the nation and around the world. But he's shown us some very hopeful things. And if we will trust him in this, and if we will believe him and begin to speak these things out while getting our heart, it's not like a default setting, like we can stay in rebellion and stay in sin and continue to, you know, all these wrong things, mm-hmm. and it's going to happen. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn and pray to God, he says, listen, he'll hear and he'll change things. And I believe he's going to change things regionally. He's going to change things state by state. So you can be in a state that's lost their state of mind, the original intent, or you can be in a city that's lost their state of mind, and you can say, you know what, this particular city is like the city that Lot was in, so I'm going to find me another city under a man or a woman of God who loves God, who hears from God, and I'm going to plant myself right there, and that's where me and my family are going to sow. We're going to be faithful to God. We're going to pray God for that, pray that God would cover us in the context of that and speak to us, and we're going to obey God in that. And maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Truly, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Our hope, and we are hearing the Lord, as many are, and our goal is just to communicate that to you so you could be all that God has called you to be. And find out more at VFNDreamCenter.com, VFNDreamCenter.com for more details on that. You can join us virtually or join us on the Gulf Coast. We're located in the Pensacola area, but also reaching around the nation and the world with, it's exciting.
It's exciting.
It's exciting what God is doing. We call it the dream because it's what God said, and we're just doing what he said, and it's amazing how that's taken. That's why we're here. That's why we're here talking to you right now. God said it. We're just doing just doing it.
That's right.
Just doing what God said.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. My name is John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton. We were just talking about honoring the voice of God and his still small voice. Now, I'd love to say that, you know, I was able to honor God all the time that he spoke to me, you know.
I recognized it.
And Lord, by the grace of God, I want to not only hear, but obey more what he is saying. But it begins with not discrediting his voice. And his voice comes in so many different ways. God will speak to us, rather, in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But this was just, you know, one small way. But we were talking even in the break that, you know, right in front of the president, George Bush, George W. Bush, mm-hmm. you know, it just came right out of me. I just stuck my hand straight and started pointing at him. And to my left, there was a Secret Service guy, Pat. I mean, at any moment, I could have been just taken.
They could have pounced on you so hard.
And my hand just came straight out because I wanted him to see my, you know, I wanted to get his attention. Right. He was looking right at me, but mm-hmm. I don't know if he was looking behind me. But when he said, thank you, I knew he received it.
Right.
And you never know. You never know what God wants to say and do, but we must be willing vessels, those that are attentive to the voice of God. And that's my quest, and that's my journey, to hear him, and not just to hear what God is saying, but the purpose of hearing and listening is so that we can do and obey. Mm-hmm. And I want to obey everything that God is saying, because let me tell you, God is doing some amazing things in our time. People talk about previous generations, Pat, and they talk about all these different moves that God has done all over the world, and we've talked about them. They've been wonderful. But you know what? I am happy and thrilled to be living in this generation, because God It has been doing some amazing things, but get ready because a wave is coming.
Oh, yeah.
A move of God is coming. Souls are going to be saved like never before. And we can prepare for this. We can prepare our hearts. We can position ourselves for this next wave that's coming. And my goodness, we want to be in it. We don't want to be, you know, two lines, right? We want to be in the line that's doing something for God.
That's right.
Because we've heard him. We've obeyed him. And now we're out and about just being used by him. And he doesn't have a plan B. It's us. Mm-hmm. It's us.
We're it.
So get in the game and tune your ears to his voice. Well, you know, we were talking about Israel and what is happening. I want you to listen to the CBN segment as they report a recent terrorist attack.
Good evening. I'm Mark Martin.
And I'm Wendy Griffith. We begin overseas where a deadly terrorist attack has claimed the lives of several Christians. Our senior international reporter, George Thomas, is here with us now with details. This sounds serious, George.
It does. Wendy, at least two South Korean Christians are dead after the tourist bus they were traveling on exploded in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. The bombing is likely the work of Al-Qaeda-linked insurgents based in the region.
The attack happened near the Egypt-Israel border crossing.
There was an explosion, and then came the fire truck and the ambulance, but they couldn't do anything.
The target, a bus filled with 31 South Korean Christians visiting biblical sites in the region.
The South Korean government cannot but feel anger and outrage and strongly condemn the terrorist bombing attack.
The bus was carrying members of Incheon Junggang Presbyterian Church out of Seoul, many of whom had reportedly saved up money for several years to go on the trip. Late this evening, church members, some of them sobbing, gathered in front of the church. One family member of a bus victim can be heard saying, "She's dead. She's dead. My sister is dead." Egyptian authorities say the bomber reportedly boarded the bus as it was preparing to cross into Israel. An Egyptian driver was also killed. Several on board were taken to nearby hospitals suffering serious injuries. It was the first such attack targeting foreign tourists in the Sinai Peninsula. South Korea's government held an emergency meeting vowing to help the Egyptian government find out who carried the attack.
The Egyptian foreign minister has acknowledged the seriousness of this incident and has expressed his intent to pour all efforts into handling the situation.
Meanwhile, hundreds of soldiers, militants, and civilians have died in recent months in the Sinai. Last September, the Egyptian army launched a major operation against terrorist groups based in this lawless area. But Wendy, Sunday's attack is another reminder of the security challenges that continue to plague Egypt.
They sure do. Horrible. Well, thanks so much for your insights.
You're
Mark?
Welcome. Thank you.
CBN News Middle East Bureau Chief, and he joins us now from Jerusalem. Chris, what do we know about who carried out the attack?
Well, I talked to an Israeli security expert just a little while ago, and he thinks it's Ansar Jerusalem, which means supporters of Jerusalem. And this is probably the main Salafist group that Egypt is fighting in the Sinai Peninsula. But it's a very difficult fight for Egypt to fight this group. He's described Sinai as Egypt's Tora Bora. And they're networked throughout Sinai. They have a huge supply of weapons. And this is the group that he suspects is perpetrated this attack yesterday.
Well, the Sinai Desert, as you know, borders Egypt and Israel and has become more lawless in recent years. What risk does that pose to Israel's security?
Well, it poses a great risk to Israel's security. For example, in Eilat, many of this group has also been firing rockets toward Israel. One of the things that could damage aviation into Eilat is if one of these shoulder-fired missiles that they have control of would ever hit an airplane going to Eilat, which is a huge tourist destination for Israelis and many tourists from around the world. And so that poses a huge threat. One of the things I think this group is trying to do is actually trying Egypt and Israel against each other to draw Israel into the Sinai Peninsula against this this group. The tactic, perhaps, that Israel needs to employ, though, is to take defensive measures, to have the Iron Dome anti-missile system there in Eilat and give intelligence with Egypt. They're cooperating against this group, but this poses quite a danger to Israel right now.
The attack targeted tourists entering Israel. How significant is that since Israel relies heavily on tourism?
Well, both Egypt and Israel rely heavily on tourism, and I think that's one of the main targets that this group had against this South Korean group, these Christians that were visiting St. Catherine's Monastery, and literally just a few minutes away from coming into Israel. Israel depends on tourism, and I think Egypt even more depends on tourism, and it had just sort of a rebound since the Arab Spring about 2 years ago. This is reminiscent of attacks in 2004 to 2006, and also the main attack against Egypt's tourism happened in 1998 in Luxor when dozens of tourists were killed. And this is could be a huge blow. So this is a really a life and death matter for the al-Sisi Egyptian government right now to fight this group. And it's part of the global jihad network. This is not necessarily funded by Iran, but the global jihad network. This is affiliated with al-Qaeda. And this is really the struggle that al-Sisi government and Israel are fighting right now.
All right, Chris Mitchell, thank you.
It's time to be awake. It's time to pay attention. They're attacking tourists. Tourists are going to Israel. When we come back in our next program, we're going to continue to talk about how this affects Israel and other attacks that are coming on different fronts. Let's not forget, we got to protect the apple of God's eyes by our prayers and our support. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 eye guy today so you can see. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today. For all of your security needs, cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Just Fishing Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fishing Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this out of this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.